verse by verse. So last class also we have discussed some things. I want to start with this. Every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita ends with a very beautiful summarization. Iti Bhagavad Gita su Upanishad su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Satyam Satche Yoga, like that. This is the key to know what Bhagavad Gita really is. So what is it? Bhagavad Gita su, plural. Bhagavad Gita shlokas. What are they? Upanishads. They are Upanishads. Just now we discussed the meaning of Upanishads. That which destroys ignorance about ourselves and then gives us right knowledge is called Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita does exactly that. Another name for this is called Brahma Vidya. Vidya means knowledge. Knowledge of Brahma. What happens? Brahma Vidya. Brahmaiva Bhavati. A knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. A knower of any particular knowledge becomes that knowledge. For example, if you have musical knowledge, you become that knowledge. If you have some scientific knowledge, you become that knowledge. Example, whenever we say Einstein, you look also at the photograph of the Einstein. Your idea about knowledge about Einstein is his knowledge, not the body and mind. You don't say he is of such and such. He is the greatest physicist in the whole world. When you look at Subbulakshmi, M.S. Subbulakshmi, what is your idea? You are thinking, she is the greatest. Now what is the point I am talking about? We are what our knowledge is. We are ideas. We are all ideas. And we look at anybody as an idea and not the physical description. The physical description is only a pointer to find out what is this person. Is a good person, beautiful person, knowledgeable person, desirable person, boring person. These are our ideas. And we act and react according to these ideas. Now you understand in this life, one who knows Brahman, he becomes Brahman. So what are the Bhagavad Gita teachings? That which gives us Brahma Vidya. What another name from Brahma Vidya is? Atma Vidya, who we really are. Very soon we will discuss it. So this is, and then it is Upanishads. Brahma Vidyaya. What is the next? Yoga Shastra. What is Yoga Shastra? The yoga, what is yoga? That which takes us nearer to God or ourselves and makes us one, that is called yoga. It could be Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Bhagavad Gita discusses all the four yogas. For example, the third chapter, the second chapter is called Jnana Yoga. It's another name for Sankhya Yoga. The third chapter is called Karma Yoga. The 12th chapter is called Bhakti Yoga. The 13th chapter is called Jnana Yoga. What is the distinction between the knower and the knower? The clear cut division in the beginning. So, Bhagavad Gita is meant only for one purpose, to make us know who we are, and then that will be the moksha liberation. Why moksha liberation? We are all bound. If we are not bound, we don't require a scripture. We are bound. We are bound by how many things? Three things. Time, space, and causation. Desha, kala, and nimitta. This is it. That which destroys this Deshakala Nimitta and makes us what we are and liberates us permanently and makes us equivalent to God, makes us Sat Chit Ananda, that is called Bhagavad Gita. The first chapter is called Arjuna Vishala Yoga. So, how does it start? Dharma Kshetre
Kurukshetre.
So, here is the point. Life is a battlefield. And it is meant to fight with ajnana or ignorance. This is called evolution. Slowly species biologically are evolving. Darwin's theory of evolution. There are three types of evolutions. The first is called biological evolution, of which human birth is very peak. The second is inward evolution, called moral or dharmic evolution. The final is called spiritual evolution. The first part of the Vedas is meant, Veda is meant only for human beings. Vedas are divided into two parts, Dharma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. Dharma Kanda helps us to evolve morally, and Jnana Kanda helps us to evolve spiritually. See the beautiful connection that comes. So, life is a battlefield. That is why Bhagavad Gita was born in a battlefield. We are not talking about physical, external battlefield. It is a battle between our Ajnana and our attempt to become, attain Jnana. It is also called Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, two important words. Dharma Kshetra means, here Dharma means, life yields exactly what we do. If you sow evil, you will be the result. If you sow Punya, Dharma, and it will give us also Punya. That is why it is called Dharma Kshetra. That is why Yama Dharma Raja is another name, Dharma Raja. Not Yamaraja, Dharmaraja. Because Dharmaraja means he will never have any favors or likes or dislikes. He just examines the khata, says this is what you have done, right? This is what you have done. And accordingly, he rewards or punishes. Important point, he assigns our karma phala. Karma phala vidhata is called Yamadharmaraja. But what is the meaning of karma phala? Is it meant to reward or punish, or is it meant to advance us in our evolution?
Advances in
our evolution. So karma phala is both happiness and unhappiness are there to help us to evolve towards self-knowledge. It is like a mountainous train. There are two engines, one to pull, another to push. Sukha is there to pull us up, and dukkha is there to push us away from ajnana. This is the simple truth. Okay. So, it is also a dharma and a kurukshetra. Kuru means what?
To do.
You have to do something. If you don't do, then you won't get any result. But by nature, it is impossible not to. The only person who doesn't need, who can not do, is a realized soul. That is why finally somebody said, Brahman is always busy. You know why? Because he doesn't have any assistant. Because he is only one. He doesn't have assistant. Therefore everything he has to do. Okay. Second. Very beautiful. Bhagavad Gita starts with the word Dharma. Dharma Kshetra. And Bhagavad Gita ends with the word Sarva Dharma Parityajya. The teaching of Bhagavad Gita starts with the 11th shloka of the second chapter. Starts with what? Shoka. Ashochyan Anashochyastvam Prajna Vadamscha Bhashase Gatasun Agatasunscha Nanashochyanti Panditaha. And ends with again Ma Shuchaha Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchaha. Do not grieve. Because if we do not grieve, scripture is totally useless. The only state of mind where we do not grieve is deep sleep. That is why in deep sleep there is no Gita class. You understand now? No teacher, no audience. Anyway, I am much better than Bhagavan Krishna. You know that? You know that? He had only one student.
And after teaching also, he is a prominent person. And then another Gita, that is called Anandita.
Okay. So, what were the name of the first chapter? Arjuna Vishada. So, what is Vishada? Vishada means grief. What is grief? Grief means bondage. Bondage always expresses itself in birth and death. Birth and death are called Shat Urmi, six changes. So, from conception, confirmation, growth, old age, disease, and death. So, whoever is there, they have to suffer. That suffering is of two types. Natural suffering and karmic suffering. Natural suffering means nature. It is hot, it is cold, mosquitoes, without mosquitoes, Kerala floods. This, it is equal to everybody, saint, sage, anybody. If we were there in Kerala, we also would have been suffering there. Like that, your meditation is not going to stop the rain. But this is common, it's called natural suffering. Karmic suffering is different. When a person did lot of punya, then he will have special raincoat and all those things. He will have what is called air conditioned car and sometimes car combined with helicopter so that he can float even in birds, etc. Their karmic, some people have to wade in and some people wade in fade in. So, this is also because of the karma. So, every human being has to go, anything that is born has to go through these six changes. This is called samsara. If we want to get rid of these changes, we have to become changeless. That state of changelessness is called moksha. Every human being, as I said, has got three desires. If you remember, sat,
chit,
I don't want to die, I don't want to be ignorant, and I don't want to suffer. So, who is free from this? God. That's why his name is Satchitananda. Therefore, what is every human being's desire? I wish to be God. I want to be God means I want to be like God. I want to be God. Satchitananda. And that means, why these desires are there? Because a desire can come only when you have an experience. Suppose you never heard about Rasagulla. Will you desire Rasagulla? You never heard about it. You don't know anything about it. Will you desire? You will not desire. 200 years before, nobody would have desired, I want to buy a ticket in an aeroplane. Now we desire because we have knowledge of aeroplanes and other things. You see, what is the point I want to make? Desire cannot come unless there is a memory. And that memory is always follows experience, which comes first. Memory or experience. That means we have experience that we are Satchidananda. Not we have experience, we are experiencing. And somehow something is obstructing. So that is why our desire is very, very strong. Next point is, when there is a desire, the mind becomes restless. Desire and restlessness are synonymous. So we have to understand, why is the mind restless? Very important point, the mind will not be restless for any object in this world. I want a car. Is the mind restless for the car? Looks as though yes. Really? No. What is the desire? I want to be happy. I think a car can give me happiness. I think a house can give me happiness. I think money can give me happiness. Human beings are, let me tell you, very foolish things. When you pray to God and God appears, don't ask that give me this and that. He also puts 100 conditions. Yeah, if you want to kill me, I should not be
killed by anybody, by human beings, by birds, by this thing, and not in the water, not in the sky, not daytime, not night time. Don't ask, this is foolishness. What we ask, make me happy. And God says, there is only one way, never make me unhappy. You just ask him. And he will have to scratch his head. And how to make only one way? By giving him self-knowledge. Instead of that, why go through all these rigmaroles, find out, and try. Ultimately, everything brings grief. Anything that can give us happiness will bring us grief. Sooner or later, there is an inviolable eternal love. Day brings in night. Light brings in darkness. Knowledge brings in ignorance. So we want to go both that knowledge, which is beyond both knowledge and ignorance. We want to go beyond that sukha and that dukkha, which is called, is a specific name, ananda. Okay, so that is what every human being has got, this desire. Then, grief always is the result of ajnana or moha. Whenever we see somebody is suffering, it is all because of what? Ignorance. What is the ignorance? That I think I don't have this. That is the ignorance. If I know I have this, then I don't need it. For example, grief means what? Put it positively. What is grief? I want to be
happy.
But if I know that I am having happiness, I am not having happiness, that is a very fine distinction. I am happiness and I have happiness, there is a hell and heaven difference. I have anything I have will come and go. Anything I am, nobody can take it away. Is that distinction clear? Because I cannot be taken, even God cannot take me away from myself. But anybody can take away anything that I have. So, that is the Atma Jnana, that is the only thing. Arjuna was grieved. Why was he grieving? Yes, grief. Moha, delusion. What is a delusion? Ajnana. What is Ajnana? That I am separate, these people are separate, and I have done something wrong, and these people have done something wrong, etc., etc. This is called Ajnana. What is the remedy for Ajnana? Jnana. So, one important factor, we all have sukha and dukkha. And very important point, these are concepts you have to understand. If you want sukha, you pay sukha with what? Dukkha. You pay sukha not with money, but with dukkha. Can you understand that point? Okay, I will tell you. Say, you want to enjoy rasagulla or any sweet. How much can you enjoy? The question depends, the answer depends upon how hungry you are, not how good rasagulla is. If your hunger is this much, your happiness will also be this much. One illustration I am giving. Take one glass of water. And if it is 90% full, how much water can it hold even if you pour?
90%
when it is full.
Okay. 10%.
If it is 50%? 50%. If it is 10%? 90%. Can it hold more than even a drop more? Mm-hmm. What is the point I am making? If you compare this glass of water to your hunger, if my hunger is only 90%, I am not hungry. 10%, I am hungry. Therefore, any happiness that comes from outside can only fill me 10%. If I am 50% hungry, 50%. My happiness is more. Is it not a fact? Mm-hmm. If I am 100% hungry, I will be 100% happy. very important point, because my happiness doesn't depend upon anything outside. It depends upon my necessity, my desire. And our desire is dependent upon how unhappy we are. If I am 50% happy, anything including God can give me only 50% happiness. Do you understand that concept? So two concepts we made. We pay for sukha with not anything else but dukkha. If your dukkha is only 50%, you will get happiness only 50%. If your dukkha is 100%, then your happiness will also be 100%. In this samsara, everybody, it alternates sukha dukkha. So we pay dukkha for what? Do we purchase dukkha? Next point. Yes, whenever you enjoy sukha, you are purchasing dukkha. Because unless you purchase dukkha, you can't have sukha next moment. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. These are the two sets of concepts. The next set of concepts. No object in this world can give us happiness. It depends upon how we value that object. If I like, say, 10 apples are. You keep 10 varieties of sweets. As an example, we assign a percentage of happiness to each one. Hierarchy is there. Rasagulla 100%, Lattus 90%. Depending upon our habits, past habits, we get how much? Can you follow what I'm talking? So you have a choice. Then you will go first to what you think is the most happy giving object, isn't it? In a buffet dinner, where will you make a beeline? Whichever you think, either. Yeah, the other day, you know, our cook was having moodi, this much of moodi, and this much of chutney. I was shocked because we had first class idlis. And I said, why? Then I understood they are from Bankura district. For them, moodi is 100% happy. They are your South Indian top Indian. So, what is the point I am making? Our happiness doesn't depend upon an object, but how much we value it, the top. That is where likes, dislikes, they are different also. My friends also like you. This person, this friend 100%, this friend 90%, this friend minus 90%. Later we have got all evaluation. We understand the concept. So, this is common, sukha dukkha. But, unless we experience extreme dukkha, our mind normally will not turn to dukkha. Arjuna started this war with a little bit of dukkha. That is why he invented certain excuses that he thought there is a solution. What is the solution? I don't want to fight. Then I'll be happy. Then he discovered that this solution is not going to work out. Because api trairavakya rajyasya hetoho kim nu mahi krite, even if I get three worlds, this dukkha of mine is not going to come to an end. He confesses. Then he understands there is this stopping the war or fighting the war is not the remedy. The remedy is totally something different. This fighting the war is a means to get rid of the vishada. It is not a solution for stopping the vishada. Not even a temporary solution. Just, I'm telling you, supposing Arjuna says to Duryodhana, I don't want to fight. Okay, we will go out. Do you think Duryodhana will allow them to be alive? Wherever they go, he will send people, finish them. By hook or crook, is it not? He already done it. Lakshagriha and Devirula, he was trying to finish them off. Ultimately, it has come to that. But Arjuna awoke and said that this Vishada cannot, there is no solution. But there is one solution. What is that solution? God only is the solution. But I don't have that medicine. Therefore, what did he do? I must go to somebody who has the medicine. And I have to pay the price. This is what we also discussed in the last. Arjuna's weakness of attachment is a fundamental problem which cannot be solved by any superficial methods. He has to surrender completely to a guru to get out of this fundamental problem. That's what happens until the 10th shloka of the second chapter. So first he faced the army, then he was placed in front of Bhishma and Drona. And had he been placed in front of Duryodhana and Dushyasana, he would have been kicking Krishna and said, why are you delaying? Come on, start the war. But now Bhishma Drona, he died of phobia. He melted. How can I kill? They were ready to kill, but he was not ready to kill. Then he thought, that was the reason why I don't want to fight. Have this, let them have everything. Then he understood. The problem is not there, the problem is here. So long as that thorn is in me, I will be suffering. How to get rid of the thorn? So what was Ramakrishna's solution? If a small thorn entered into your foot, then get another bigger thorn. You have to get that bigger thorn. And that bigger thorn is called guru. Bigger thorn is called guru. So what does guru do? He will remove the thorns and then he will remove himself. Otherwise he will become another bigger thorn. So we go on clinging to his body and other things, create guru. Okay. So then what is there? To obtain jnana, which is the only solution, one must have a guru and surrender completely to the guru. Because if you don't surrender, then you will not get. Even if you get, it will not work. What is surrender here? Surrender means to follow, to have faith in the guru's words and to follow the guru's instructions and to get rid of the problem is called surrender. Not simply prostrating in front of somebody and getting prasadi hava. You know prasadi hava? One stupid South Indian guru somehow got one even more stupid, more intelligent disciple. He thought that otherwise guru is useless unless there is a disciple, isn't it? So he thought, I'll be a very happy person. Next morning, South India, very hot, summer season. He called the disciple and said, hey, come and fan me. The disciple stood at long distance and said, I am not fit to be anywhere near you. The guru had no option but take the fan and start. The disciple ran nearby and stood. Guru asked, what is the matter? He said, prasadi hava. Hava prasad. Your prasad. You fan yourself, you also. Is that called surrender?
No.
We outline 7 steps. What is it? Discover the problem. Accepting that I have discovered, even when sometimes we know that we have a problem, we don't want to accept. We go and say, no, I have no problem. That is one of the symptoms of the problem. Then finding that I have no solution. Then finding out somebody who has the solution. Approach him and surrendering him is 5th step. 6th step, receive the remedy. But in this last step, practice it, get rid of the problem. 7 steps. That is what Arjuna in the end said. Sishyasteham Sharimam Prapanna. I have taken refuge in you. I am your Sishya. Here Sishya means what? Siksha-artha Sishyaha. That Siksha-artha, fit person to be instructed by the Guru so that immediately he will put into practice. He is a real Shishya. So as soon as Arjuna surrendered, then only for the first time Sri Krishna opened his mouth in the 11th shloka, and that is the second chapter. So Arjuna had Vishada, that Vishada has taken him to realize that this Vishada will not go excepting through Atma Jnana. So he surrenders himself to Bhagavan Krishna, a guru. Then the relationship, until that time, what was the relationship? Friends. Now the relationship is guru and Shishya, and then complete self-surrender, and then the guru started giving to the yogya adhikari. We discussed that. Anubandha Chatushtaya, adhikari, prayojana, adhikari, vishaya, and sambandha. You have to keep that in mind. Now, next starts. This is the essence of the first chapter. Called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Because Arjuna's Vishada led to Atma Jnana, that is why it is called Vishada Yoga. Until our Vishada doesn't turn us towards God, it is not called Yoga. It is called Vishada, either Bhoga or Vishada Roga. Vishada Bhoga means, you know, there are some people who go on worrying. And you tell them, why do you worry? They will not stop. They will not stop. Why they don't stop? They must be getting something. That means that worrying is giving them some juice. That is called worrying Bhoga. Ultimately, some after getting a lot of blows, then they wake up and realize, now I am not having bhoga, I am really having
bhoga.
And then the next cycle will be yoga, Vishada Yoga. So what is the important lesson? That however nice life is, ultimate solution is only yoga. Okay. Then second chapter is called Sankhya Yoga. The word Sankhya has something to do with Sankhya. This is one meaning. But the real meaning is, Sankhya means numbers. Real meaning is Jnana. According to Sankhya, there is called Sankhya philosophy. Six systems of Indian philosophy, six books, you know that. That Nyaya Vaisheshika, Sankhya Yoga, Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa. That is that Sankhya concepts of cosmology have been incorporated into all schools of Vedanta. Vedanta is again divided into three schools, Dvaita, Vishishta Dvaita and Advaita. We are not talking any schools, we are talking about Vedanta. Vedanta means the essence of Vedas. Vedanta means Upanishads, means the essence of Upanishads. Ro Upanishad Ugao, Dogda Upadanandana. So, that Upanishad means what? That which gives right knowledge is called Upanishad, and that right knowledge is called Jnana, and that is the meaning of Sankhya. So why this Sankhya came? According to Sankhya Yoga, there are 24 principles plus one Atma, Purusha. So here all the 24 principles do not belong to us. I am really must identify myself with the Atma. This is called, that is why it is called Jnana Yoga, Sankhya Yoga, one and the same. So this Sankhya Yoga, very briefly, first it has got I think around 72 shlokas. So from first to tenth, Arjuna Sharanagati Krama. Then the Lord expounds the nature of the Atman from 11th to 38, not strictly, but mostly. Then, how to attain that knowledge through Karma Yoga or Sadhana Yoga, that is expounded from 39th to 53. Then, at the end of this exposition, Sri Krishna advises you better try to get knowledge. Then he asks, yes, whatever you say is wonderful, but I need somebody who can guide me. a teacher, how do I recognize a wise man? This is called Stitha Pragna Satma. Stitha Pragna Stitha Bhasha. Samadhis Tastikeshava. Stitha Di Kim Prabhasheta Kimasita Prajeta. How does he behave? How does he sit? How does he talk? How does he sleep? How does he behave? Because if we don't see, then we won't be able to recognize it. And I enumerated four characteristics. What are those four? He's always happy. Second, is always
calm
and peaceful, serene, nothing moves him. Sukha, dukkha, sita, ushna, mana, apamana, jaya, apajaya, labha, nashta. Even if life and death is hard. One simple example I will tell you. Sri Ramakrishna had a disciple called Samsharadana. One day he was crossing the Ganges with another devotee called Vaikunthanath Sanyasi. On the way, a big storm arose. And Samsharadanji was smoking. Agul Bagul, you know. The boat was churning like that. The boat was drowning. But Samsharadanji calmly was smoking. That devotee could not tolerate it. He snatched the Agul Bagul. Threw it in the Ganges. Of course, nothing happened. The boat reached after some time. Then somebody asked, this devotee asked, Maharaj, you were to. By that time he became regretful. You were so calmly smoking even when the boat was about to capsize. What were your thoughts? Then he said, if the boat is certainly going to capsize, why not I enjoy one Hubble Power and anyway, it is going to happen. Why not have a free? That was Swami Sharadana. Another occasion, Swami Vivekananda got angry. Went on scolding Swami Sharadana. Not one eye, you know, lit more. Swamiji got so disgusted. Sharad, the blood of a fish is running in your veins. Cold blood. I have been scolding for such a long time and no reaction at all. That was Swami. What is the second characteristic? Absolute serenity. Why serenity? Not stupidity. Because they know this is all a play, this is not reality. They know who they are. They are not going to have either death or unhappiness. That is important. What is the third characteristic?
Love and loving.
They look upon everybody, love everybody. They do not make any slightest distinction. It is called prema arpana amadarshana jala jana dukhajaya. Anybody who has developed this thing, prema arpana, namo namo prabhu vakya manavachanam jyotira jyoti ujjwal tumi namo bhajanaha. And where is that this come? Prema arpana samadarshana sampada tava sri pada parabhoshpada pariyadhai prema arpana samadarshana. Whoever develops that samadarshana, they will have no doubt. Simple hint. Suppose somebody stole yours. What would be our reaction? Oh, this fellow is a rogue, he is a thief, he stole. But samadarshana, after all, you know, he is me. Instead of this body using, that body is using. Fine, you go on using. So, that third characteristic, samadarshana, because of prema. Prema because? He is not the other person. He is me, like my right hand and left hand. Right eye and left eye. We don't make any distinction. Prema, we also practice it. So we have to extend it. Because of knowledge. What is the knowledge? If I am the Atman, everyone else is Atman. That is the third character. What is the fourth character? They are ready to lay down their life. Pranarpana Jagatara. When we see these four characteristics, then we know he is a realized. And we have to surrender ourselves to him and say, you only alone have this remedy for my problem. So what is the condition? Surrender. What is surrender? The capacity to receive teaching is called surrender, not slavishness or anything.
Okay.
So, Sthita Pranya Lakshana says, Sankhya means knowledge, yoga means that knowledge which takes us to God. Therefore, the second chapter is appropriately named as Sankhya Yoga. And I already told you, it starts with the 11th verse, the second chapter. How does it start? Ashochyan anvashochyasvam prajna vadamsya bhashase gatasun gatasunsya na anushochyati pandita. O Arjuna, you spoke wise words, but you are greedy, like a fool. Your words are wise words, but your behavior is a foolish behavior. Then what is right behavior? Panditas. Pandita means they who have got panda. Panda means knowledge. What is knowledge? I am the Atman. Everything is sarvam kalvidam brahma. Kherati brahmande bhagavad. Hamsasoham, 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 sohamidhi. Have you heard about it? The meaning, that is the meaning. So that is the only way. You are talking like a pandit without having the knowledge of a pandit. Who is a pandit? A pandit is one who doesn't grieve, either for the living or the dead. Why? Because there are no living, there are no dead. Even the Atman has neither birth nor death, neither living nor non. This is all because of ignorance.
Okay.
So that was the cause of Arjuna. I am going to kill Bhishma, Drona, etc. So how does Krishna tackle this? Second chapter. He says, you look at this problem from three viewpoints. From the body viewpoint, from the dharma viewpoint, moral point, from a spiritual point. What did he say? If you think Bhishma, Drona and others are bodies, you are also body. If you will also die, they will also die. And in fact, you nobody can stop. I have already killed. Here is something very wonderful. Kala. Arjuna asks Krishna, who are you? Until that time, he knows you are Krishna, my guru. But then, make a little farming. So Krishna is supposed to be the greatest ophthalmologist. And Arjuna said, I want to see you in your show. And he prescribed him wrong contact lens. Because previously he was happy, now he was seeing frightening things. So he said, Krishna, your prescription is totally wrong. Previously I was very happy, now I am very unhappy. Please take away your prescription. That means, even if somebody gives when we don't deserve, we won't be able to really appreciate. That is, we have to be adhikaras. That is why Anubandha Chaturstha, are you prepared? Otherwise, it will just go over. Okay. So, three answers. If you are thinking Bhishma, Drona, etc., Duryodhana, etc., they are bodies. They are born, they live for some time, and they die. Therefore, your grief is unnecessary because, anyway, even if you don't kill, important question. If you kill, they die right now. If you don't kill, they will die after some time. Is that the right answer? Whether you kill or not, when the time comes, it will have to die. Is it? Is that my answer? Is not the other person killing or anything? He says, why did you say that? Okay, we will not discuss now. If a person's time has come, that person has to. Right, there is no other way at all. Do you see the point? So don't be arrogant to think, if I kill only they will die. If I don't kill, they are not going to die. Everybody has a nirdishta samaya. Because everybody died at different periods. Not because of anybody, because their time had come. If you get the point, from body point of view, you should not grieve. Because everybody, every body expiring, manufacturing date and expiry date.
Yes.
If you are thinking from dharmic point of view, who are more dharmic than Bhishma and Drona and others? Therefore, if you kill now, instead of going to heaven after 6 months, they are going to go right now. Will they be happy or unhappy?
Happy.
They will be very happy. They can't resist telling you. There was a couple. Husband was severely diabetic. So the wife never allowed him to even to look at a sweet. 40 years passed. You know the story? 40 years passed. Both of them died at the same time and found themselves in heaven. Saint Peter took them to a new, brand new air-conditioned building. And this is your home. They entered. The husband's eyes popped open. With everywhere there are sweets. Then he looked at Saint Peter and said, "But Baba, you know that I am diabetic." Saint Peter said, "No, no, these are heavenly sweets. You can wear that, but it's called sugar-free sweets. You can eat as much as you want, and nothing will happen." Hearing this, the man turned to his wife and gave one big slap. She asked, "Why? But for you, I would have been here 40 years." You kept me away from all those sweets. For 40 years you tortured me. What is the point? Because they are tormented. If they die, they will go to higher worlds. That means you are really helping them reach that state. So you don't need to worry. From third answer is from the spiritual point of view. What is it? If is Bhishma is Atma, Arjuna is Atma, you are Atma, Duryodhana is Atma, everybody is Atma. There is no death at all. Who is the killer? Who is the killer? These three answers he gave. And then he gives 2 points. We will discuss about it. What is it? First, characters. You say that we don't die, nobody dies. That is what in the second chapter, clear description of the Atman. What is it? This Atman, it is not that we are here now, we were not there, but we are here and we won't be there. We will be there for eternity. Atman will be there. Nobody will die. Duryodhana will not die, Dushyasana will not die, Karna will not die. Shakuni will not die, Bhishma will not die, Drona will not die, you will not die, I will not die, because Atman is deathless. Avinashita tadvitti yena sarvam idam tadam vinasham avyasyasya na kasya kartumarhati. You just take that one. So, Bhagavad Gita. Here are some verses. I am not going to go into the deep, but I will just tell you a few things. This Atman. Ajayate mrete va kadachinnayam bhutva bhavita va na bhuyaha ajaha. Unborn, nityaha, eternal, shashvataha, again, beyond time, puranaha, means eternal, and katham, puranaha, nahanyate hanyamana sharira. Even if the body is killed, the Atman has nothing to do, it is like a shell. This is one description. Veda avinashinam nityam, yayenam ajam avyayam. Kathamsa purusha when this Atman is eternal, who is there to kill? How is he going to kill? And who is going to be killed? He who thinks he is the killer and he who thinks that I am going to be killed, both are ignorant. So what is the difference? The person who says I am going to kill is from the Kartrutva Abhimana. The person who says I am going to be killed from the Bhoktrutva Abhimana. I am going to experience this commodity. The Atman is beyond both. So then what happens? Death, just like a man, discards old, worn-out clothes and he takes new clothes. After the death of his body, is like old dress, he will have a new dress. Ainam chinnanti shastran. No weapon can kill this Atman, etc. You have gone through these things. So that means what? You do not need at all to think about this one. Then he says, how to attain that knowledge? Karma Yoga. Practice Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? That which destroys Ajnana is called Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Raja Yoga. What does these four yogas do? They don't give us knowledge of Atma. They do not need to give us. You don't need to destroy darkness first and bring in light. The moment you bring, simultaneously, Jnana will be destroyed. Jnana will be, Jnana means what? A thing as it is will be revealed. There is a rope. We mistake it for a snake. Just to bring the light. You destroy only the, what does the light do? It doesn't, it only destroys the snake knowledge. It doesn't bring the knowledge of the rope. There is no need, because that is our change. Because the change has not come there. The change has come here. So no need to beat the snake there. Beat your head. That's why we say, you know, we beat ourselves. That's what happens. Then Arjuna understands this and he asks, so how if you are talking about a Noira Brahma, what should be the condition of the Noira Brahma? This first way is four conditions. Always happy, always serene, always loving without distinction, and ready to sacrifice. This is summarized here. So what is the summarization? He has no desires. Desire is meant only for one purpose. What is it? I lack something, I am unhappy. If I get it, I will have no desire, but I will be happy. Fulfillment of desire means what? Removal of limitedness. That is all it means. It doesn't give happiness. Happiness is always there. It covers, our Ajnana covers our own happiness. And Jnana removes that Ajnana. The natural innate happiness will come out. This is a concept which we will discuss in our future classes. And here we always serene. Dukkeshu anadvigna manaha sukeshu vigadasu. Dukkha, sukha. And then his mind will be sthitadhi. Completely serene. And no object in this world can tempt him. Like when danger confronts, what is that? Tortoise. It just withdraws its limbs and nothing can affect it. Like that, this person, if there is any danger, he will simply withdraw into himself and he will remain absolutely indestructible, serene. Then he says, what is the next one? All his sense organs are under his control. There is a secret here. What is the secret? A lower happiness can be conquered only by a higher happiness. That is the first law. Second law, once a person gets higher happiness, he need not think, shall I renounce the lower happiness or not? Automatically, it destroys. That is what he is telling here. Compared to Brahmananda, any Vishayananda is so inferior that he doesn't need to make any effort to get rid of it. Automatically, it will be dropped off. Then, in two verses, how a man courts destruction. Dhyayato Vishayanupunsa. Did we discuss that one?
No, sir.
8 steps, very important steps. So, what is that? You go on to any sense object. That is the first step. Sangha Pujayate. You get attached to it. Advertisement. That's why advertisement. What is advertisement? The Ayatovishyamu. Every day you see that one. Peculiar thing also. They want to sell a car. And there is a beautiful woman standing. What is it? They want to sell the car or they want to sell the woman? You know what is this psychology? A beautiful woman brings pleasure to the man. With that attitude, when he looks at the car, he feels this woman is giving me pleasure. This car also will give me pleasure. Anyway, a small joke, you know. A farmer's wife died. He wanted another wife. And he doesn't have a car. So he put up an advertisement. Wife wanted, must have a car. Mm-hmm. Send a photograph of the car. He wanted wife or car. Okay. So, dhyayato vishayan sangateshu pujayate. Attachment. Attachment degenerates into desire. Kama. And when the kama is thwarted, it becomes krodha. Krodha makes us forget what is right, what is wrong. And this covers our memory. What is memory? What is right, what is wrong. That's when a man is angry, he doesn't know this is parent, this is guru. Like one of our Vrindavita and his disciples, he just threw the bomb and he killed his guru. He himself died. He also, you know that?
No.
In California, San Francisco, it happened. So, when a person is angry, he loses all good sense. All good sense means how to behave. And that depends upon the memory. So, smriti bhramsha. When smriti goes away, what decision to take, what to do, what not to do, buddhi will be buddhi nasha. If you count, 8. Dhyayato vishayanupumsa, sangaha, kamaha, krodhaha, sammohaha, mrityuribhimha, buddhinashaha, pranashaha. 8 steps. Beautiful. Anyway, this person will be free from attachment, raga and dvesha. Because raga dvesha is only functional in this world. When he is getting brahmananda, so what is raga, what is dvesha? Because every object becomes only Brahman. Therefore, no question of I like this and I don't like doesn't happen because for two reasons. First reason is Brahman, when you are happy, you will not have any discrimination. Second reason is there would be nobody else, only Brahman. Even to have raga and dvesha, there must be at least one object. There is no object, only oneself. That's why in your deep sleep, you are one or two. That's why you are so peaceful. No raga, no dvesha. Peaceful sleep. Only problem is with some people. They have sound sleep. You understand sound sleep?
Yes.
Sleep for that person and sound for everybody else. Okay. So, this such a person, he is completely in charge of his own body and mind. All his sense organs, shama, dharma, didiksha, uparati, shraddha, samadhana, viveka, vairagya, mumuksha, sadhana, chatushtaya, sampasya. He already acquired. This is the brahmagnana is the result of all that. Yogya. Always cheerful, always happy. So, in the end he says, even if this Brahman knowledge comes at the very end of one's life, that is finished. He is not going to return back. That is what he says. Esha Brahmi Siddhi Pakta Nainam Prapya Vimukir Stitvasyam Antakale. Just 1 second before death. If he obtains Brahmagnana, Brahma Nirvana Vinshati. If he attains Brahmagnana. Means what? I am Brahma. Therefore, I have no birth, I have no death, I have no ajnana. I am Sat, I am Chit, and I am this is what it happens. Okay, now let us go back this morning. This is characteristics of the Sthita Prajna. And with that, the second chapter ends. But how to attain it? That is where the third chapter begins. Its name is Karma Yoga. Anyway, we are doing karma. So, karmas are three types. Action, inaction, wrong actions. Karma, akarma, and vikarma. Akarma means actionlessness. Karma means action. Vikarma means action, but wrong type of action. So, how many types of karma yogas are there? Today, time is up, I will only tell you two things. Many people do not understand what they are talking about karma yoga. First of all, karma yoga is divided into two parts, sakama karma yoga and nishkama karma yoga. Nishkama karma yoga is subdivided into two categories, before realization and after realization. So, how can there be what we call sakama karma yoga? Karma yoga means we think that we don't want anything. But what is karma yoga? Karma, when it takes us to God, is called karma yoga. That is why Bhagavad Gita enumerates four. Chaturvidha, bhajante imam janasu, arthaha, arthati, jignasu, and jnani. So, you have desire, I have desire. Connected with God, pray to God. That's what I did. Wrote a letter to Holy Mother before the construction of this house. Did I tell you? I wrote a letter. Later on, I wrote a letter for the Holy Mother. This temple, don't forget, is for your husband. So you better provide all the money and other things. And she got right. And she provided. You understand?
Yes.
Holy Mother is Mahalakshmi. So she heard the prayers. And then Sri Sukta and Kantaharasta. Works. Mantra works. Mantra works, really works. Okay. So, we are talking about Karma Yoga. First division is Sakama Karma Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga. Second division, Nishkama Karma Yoga, before realization and
after
realization. The essence of this we will talk about next week if we are there. Om Vasudhi Sukandhiram Kamsa Charu Mantaram Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. So if you have got anything to ask, we are free.